talking with James Rivera of Hellstar, and the crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
The big thing, we got 30 years of hell coming out. We've got side projects. You've got tour dates. Okay, let's start with the 30 years of hell. Catch us up to speed here.
Yeah, well, 30 years of hell is, you know, it's our first official double live CD and live DVD of a concert that we recorded and filmed last March here in our hometown in Houston. And it was to celebrate 30 years of, you know, our career, and I started to think kind of old school, and I remember, you know, when I was young listening to the, you know, what was becoming the invasion of British metal, German metal, you know, in late 70, you know, most of the bands back then that you were attracted to or the albums that turned you on the most were the live records. Back then, that's what made bands was live records.
Right.
Now, live albums are just more nostalgia.
And it's a good little turn on for, that's why I like these live albums too, kind of the same reason. And they get you kind of into, maybe you missed the tour, you couldn't see it live, or you haven't ever had the chance or haven't been into them yet. Now you get a little bit of a Hellstar live experience.
The good thing about this too, because of 30 years of, you know, of a career and a span of from the beginning to where we are now, it gives everybody a taste of, wow, look how they've evolved from, he said this was from, you know, when you listen to the live record, this is from the first album, Burning Star, you know, and then you go, this is from the new album, you hear the difference of how the band sounds now compared to in the 80s, and we have evolved a lot. But the strange thing is that we've updated the old songs to fit our style now, that when you hear the whole show, it's like one smooth roller coaster ride. It's not like, oh, you can tell that song's dated. It's all, you know, and someone said it perfectly. He goes, dude, it just sounds like you guys have been doing all this all today now. And I said, yeah, well, that was the other intention of it as well.
All right, so take us on a little nostalgic journey. Take us back to 1982. You guys, when you guys first get together and go into the studio, start recording Burning Star.
Well, you know, in 1982, we were doing a lot of the backyard parties. And we wanted to get into the clubs, but in 1982, 83, 84, there were some big, very, very popular rock clubs in just about every city back then, I'm sure. But the majority of the set list that you needed was, you know, Loverboy, Journey, and Foreigner, and, you know, all the dance stuff. So we showed up, you know, with our set list, and they're like, Run to the Hills,
wait,
Blackout.
What?
Number of the Beast. What the hell is all this stuff? And we're like, it's metal. And they're like, no, don't you play any Loverboy? And we're like, no, you know. So we couldn't get into the clubs anyways. We ended up writing originals. We did a demo, and that demo ended up in the hands of a guy in England that wrote for a magazine called Metal Forces, and our Burning Star demo became number one for 3 months in a row in the UK. That led to our first record deal called Combat Records. And, you know, going into the studio was, you know, first time ever. And, you know, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. But the strange thing about recording the very first album, Burning Stars, you got to remember, okay, this demo had been out and we had already done it a year ago. So we went in there and did this record in 3 days. They just said, just keep going. Just keep going. You're doing great. You know, I didn't know anything about punching in or any of that stuff then. So I just sang the whole album from beginning to end, just like it is.
Moore actually records as the sound of the band is actually playing the song live.
Exactly. Right. So it was no different to me, you know, and it wasn't until we did the second record that I found out about punching in and doing things, you know, a little bit more advanced. So.
And this is the cool thing about talking to you guys is you've been in the studio, in the industry, using the technology as it's advanced, from being able to punch in to now you go in and do it in Pro Tools and tweak it and it's all done.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it comes in handy. I think, though, for the most part, because especially for me, I'm very stubborn. I'm very old school. And I'm one of those guys that, you know, when it comes to booking shows and stuff like that and, you know, promoters and stuff, and they want to go, just email me. And I go, no, you need to pick up the phone, dude. I need to hear your voice. I'm old school.
Right.
You know, and that's just the way it is. But same with recording. I still like to fine-tune things humanly and not so much rely on, that, we'll just fix it. I'm like, what do you mean we'll just fix it? He goes, yeah, dude, I'll pitch it. You know? And so I did one record like that. But the thing is that you can hear it. And I didn't like that. And my producer now loves that, too. And he says, dude, no, you're doing the right thing. It's best to fix it humanly.
We've also been with Seven Witches, Distant Thunder,
Rumors,
Destiny's End.
Distant Thunder, and now I'm singing for Malice as well. I've had a long, a nice, extensive career aside of Hellstar, which Hellstar's been my longevity band for many, many years. And I had seemed to gotten very lucky, and you know, I can take you down the whole history. Well, Hellstar's been there. Then there was Destiny's End that did two albums on Metal Blade. After Destiny's End, Hellstar did some reunion stuff in Europe. Then I got asked to be the singer for Flotsam and Jetsam for their 2001 tour, and I did that. Then shortly after that, I met a gentleman by the name of Jack Frost, who was in Sabotage, who had a band called Seven Witches, kind of an all-star cast with Joey Vera from Armored Saint and Fate's Warning in that project.
That's pretty much what we now call a supergroup.
A supergroup, exactly. And then that led to a few more albums. That led to then Hellstar started becoming more active again. And then I did another supergroup project called Killing Machine with David Ellefson and Jimmy DeGrasso from Megadeth, along with Peter Shatire, who's the founder of this band, Killing Machine, and Juan Garcia from Agent Steel. And that had a lot of promises, but problem there was that Peter Shatire had another project called Temple Brutality, and he kind of put that up in the front of Killing Machine, and then Killing Machine was killed. So, long story. And then I ended up being the singer for Vicious Rumors, did a record with them. Then Hellstar started becoming in fruition, like really at 150%, and my love and heart had to go back to where it all started, and there it is. So now the Hellstar's back, and then I just recently got asked to join Malice and did a record with them, and I try to keep busy.
Been around the world with different styles of bands and different bands. Now back into Hellstar for 30 years of hell, and you mentioned all the double discs, the special features, and the kind of nostalgic review history of the band. And you can find more Hellstar U.S. and international information from the website. You guys have a Facebook page?
The real Hellstar website is, because there's a make on there, it is hellstarmetal.com.
I love the 30 years cover, because it's complete with the logo and the album artwork that just keeps in theme with the Hellstar history. I love it.
Yeah, it's cool. And, you know, we tied in the Mayan calendar because it's 2012, and, you know. and Scully in the front, he's our official mascot.
I wanted to ask you real quick, one of my most interesting albums of y'all's is, and I never pronounce it right, Nosferatu, the Dracula one?
Nosferatu, yeah, that was the opera we did about Dracula and vampires.
How did that come about in a Hellstar catalog?
Larry Berrigan, the other original member besides myself, and the other, you know, long-running teammate, you know, that really makes Hellstar to this day, he had been up one night getting stoned, and he was bored, and he was watching some creep show or something, and he stayed up all night watching it, and he just reminisced when he was a kid, and he was like, I didn't realize how badass those, you know, the Hammer film Draculas were. I go, oh, dude, that's when Dracula became satanic.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, Christopher Lee never said anything. He just had the red eyes, and he was the first one to have the red inside the black cape. It almost looked more devilish, you know, and he saw that movie, and he wrote that song, Baptized in Blood, and then he was telling me his fascination with it. Well, I went back and started looking at all the Hammer film Dracula movies. Then we just said, man, dude, we ought to do an opera on Dracula, but make our own movie. And to be honest, since we've written that album, which was 1988 and came out in 1989, my lifestyle has never changed since. I wish I was a producer and I could make a movie out of what we did for Nosferatu.
That would be the thing to see. Go back and instead of the soundtrack that went with the film, kind of going backwards, make the film that went with the soundtrack.
Oh, dude, that would be killer, especially the scene where Dracula gets out of the coffin in the church and then grabs the priest, and he's the first one. He just bites his throat away, and oh, it's killer.
It certainly ain't Twilight, kiddies.
It'd be rated R, sorry, but hey, you know, what good horror movie couldn't be, you know? Yeah, it couldn't be rated G, that's for
sure. We're going to do it right, damn it. Very cool. James, we're about to run out of time, but I do appreciate you calling in. and chatting and hanging out with us here this afternoon.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. And I talked to one of your colleagues earlier, and we're gonna work on getting my tribute band, Sabbath, Judas Sabbath, up to Abilene. You know, it's a tribute to Black Sabbath and Judas Priest, obviously, but it's the Dio years only, and I think that would be very interesting to get that up into that area.
We will absolutely love to have you here, and definitely look forward to doing that.
Yeah, you got it, dude.